Question for you this morning. How much time do you spend looking in a mirror? You probably spend more than you realize. If you drove here this morning, which most of you did, if you were the driver, I should say, this morning, you maybe checked out one of these on your way. Hopefully, as you weaved in and out of traffic on the interstate highways coming up through some of the communities here in the valley, or just to make sure some other drivers were paying attention, you may have looked in the mirror. You may have just glanced to see the traffic around you. Sometimes our reflections are just that. They're very quick. We look back. We take a glance over our shoulder to something that's behind us. Sometimes our reflections need to be a little bit deeper. How many of you have ever looked in the close-up side of one of these? Yeah, how did that work out for you? Bit scary, isn't it? Well, this is our 100th anniversary. We've talked a bit about it. You heard a greeting from one of your former youth pastors this morning. One of our themes, one of our words, I guess it reflects our objectives for our 100th anniversary, is to reflect, to look back. And it's good to do that, not just a quick memory. Oh, I remember when Pastor Jeff was here. I remember that event and so on. But to actually, as we reflect as a church, to take time to, or as we look back, to take time to reflect. What are the lessons that we learned through 100 years? I know most of you weren't here the whole time. But what are some of the lessons that were learned and so on? Also for us personally, we're still at the outset kind of a new year. Although January has kind of just zipped by very quickly, but it's still a good time for personal reflection. And so my question this morning for you and for me is, when you reflect, when you look into the mirror, what do you see? What do you see from the past year or past years? Or what do you learn from the most recent season of your life? Or what do you see when you look back on your life? This is a time of year when companies and organizations are looking back. We're going to meet in a couple of weeks' time for our church annual meeting, in which we will reflect back over 2023 and look forward to 2024. Companies are doing audits financially and otherwise of their organizations and reviews and so on. And so maybe it's a good time for us at a 100th anniversary to not only do an audit or a reflection of our church, but of ourselves. I want to read to you a couple of verses of scripture from the book of James. James chapter 1 verse 22, talking about reflecting, James says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law, God's word, that gives freedom, and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." James uses a word picture here. He's comparing the Word of God, looking into the Word of God, as looking into a mirror. Now, the main purpose of a mirror, the main purpose for which you own a mirror, is to be able to see yourself, right? Not someone else. You have glasses to see someone else, or you look through something to see someone else. The purpose for which you would have a mirror is so that you can see yourself, not someone else, and make yourself look as clean and neat as possible. You look in the mirror before you leave. You fix your hair if you have any, or you wipe the toothpaste from the corner of your mouth and so on, or else you have a wife to remind you to do that, and whatever works. James' point is that we can look into a mirror, he says, but it does no good if we just look in there and then quickly forget what we saw and don't do anything about it. Looking in the mirror, all my hair is a mess, or I have, again, toothpaste on my face, and you just, oh well, and you leave and you go. The mirror hasn't accomplished its purpose. James says that it's not fulfilling its purpose if we don't take enough time to make the necessary changes based upon what we see. Now, in those days, mirrors weren't like they are today. We have the perfectly flat, clear glass with the whatever it is behind it that gives us a clear reflection. In those days, mirrors were made of metal, polished metal, and so you would be able to get a reflection, but it wouldn't be a perfect reflection, and you'd have to gaze a little more intently into the mirror. You'd have to pay a little more particular attention because you're not sure if what you're seeing is something in the mirror or something in the reflection. And so James would use that kind of, as he made this word picture, that would be the understanding that people would have. Paul used the same imagery in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 when he talked about things that happen in life that we don't quite make sense of. He said, now we see through a glass, or now we see through a glass darkly. It's like a mirror, it's a poor reflection, and we can't quite make it out. And Paul's point was that there are things in life that we don't really see clearly. We're looking like into a blurry glass, and we just don't quite get the picture. But he goes on to encourage us. He says that one day that blur will be gone and we will see clearly. James says we make three mistakes when we hear the word, but we don't do the word. That's his whole point in his writing. Not just to be a hearer, but to be a doer. And when we hear but we don't do, he says we have fallen short. And we make the mistake sometimes of just, as I said, just quickly glancing. We just take a quick glance and we don't really pay attention. We open the Word of God and we do our daily reading and so on, but we don't really take the time to look into the Word and to see what it's saying there to us and how it's reflecting back on our lives and allowing the Holy Spirit to show us in His mirror the things that we need to see. I read a quote this week by Warren Wiersbe, and he said this: too many Christians mark their Bibles, but their Bibles never mark them. Now, I would, first when I read it, I kind of thought, not sure, because my history has been that people who kind of take time and mark their Bibles, their Bibles are probably marking them. But his point is not lost. We can mark our Bibles. Oh, that's a really good scripture. But have we allowed the Bible to put its mark on our lives? James says when we just merely glance into the mirror and we quickly forget it, forget what I read, forget what I saw, didn't allow it to really make a difference in my life, then it doesn't really mark us. Second mistake we make, he says, is that we forget. We read it. Oh, man, God is speaking to me. His Holy Spirit clearly spoke to me about this. But then we go on and we forget what we have heard. And the third mistake just naturally follows then, that we fail to obey what the Word tells us. Some people make the mistake of hearing for doing. I heard the message, I listened to the preacher, I read this or whatever, but they don't do it and it doesn't accomplish its purpose. The Bible tells us that simply hearing the Word of God is not going to save us. Simply hearing sermons or attending church or whatever. But what saves us is doing what the Word of God says, and that is confessing our need of a Savior and allowing the Word of God to be applied to our lives. And so my question then is, again, I asked myself as I prepared this message this week, and I ask you this morning, what do you see when you reflect? When you take time in God's Word and you read it, or you look back on your life with the Holy Spirit's help through His Word, what do you see? What do you see about your relationship with Jesus? What do you see about your spiritual health? I remember someone asked this question when I was probably a teenager, probably at one of the youth camps that Tiffany talked about this morning. And I was asked this question. We were asked this question. It's come back to me so many times since. And it simply was this: can you look back to any point in your Christian life or your Christian journey where you were closer to Jesus than you are today? And so many times that question, as the Holy Spirit has reminded me of that. And I've had points where I can look back to seasons where, yeah, I had honestly had to say, you know what? I think I did. I think I was closer. And so if I can honestly identify a season where I was closer to Jesus than I am today, then the reflection part is, so why was that? Or why is it not the same today? As we reflect on our priorities. Another quote that has stuck with me for so many years, a quote by Charles Swindoll. And he said this: too often we worship our work, we work at our play, and we play at our worship. And so when I look into a mirror, when I look into God's Word and His Holy Spirit speaks to me, do I give it the time to speak to me about this? Am I worshiping my work? Am I working at my play? Am I playing at my worship? Then if I can answer those questions yes, then I need some time for further reflection. And so what do we do? What do we do when we take time to reflect? What happens when we take this time with God and we say, Lord, I just really want to reflect on my life? What happens in those moments? Does God slap us on the wrist and give us an F? No, He doesn't. We sung about some of these things this morning about God's grace and God's blessing in our lives when we take this time before Him. We reflect that through the Bible we see people who've taken these time. I think of Job. There's a whole lot going on in his life that wasn't good, in the natural at least. And we read the book of Job, and it's a book of reflection. He's not afraid to ask the tough questions. He's not afraid to confront the past. He's not afraid to confront the truth. And he opens his heart before God, and God speaks to him, and he comes to this conclusion that, God, I've heard about you, but now I know because I've seen you for myself. And that's what happens in those times of Holy Spirit-directed reflection. I've heard about this, but now I know because I have had that experience. Yes, it's a risk. I realize that sometimes we take a risk when we open the Word of God and allow it to speak to us. It may remind us that maybe I've fallen a little bit short. But the wonderful thing about the Word of God and the Holy Spirit's ministry in our lives is that when we have those moments when I realize I may have fallen short, the Holy Spirit says, okay, now I want to take you further. The Word of God is a book of grace and not condemnation. The Bible says that Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but He wants to lead us in the place in Him where He would desire us to be. It's a process that, if we allow it, will lead us ultimately to God's goodness. One of the Old Testament prophets, a man by the name of Habakkuk, in his book, he's doing a lot of reflection as well. In the first two chapters of the book of Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, however you prefer to pronounce it, he's reflecting on his life, but he's reflecting on his nation. He's kind of, in some ways, as I was preparing this week, I was thinking he's kind of doing what we're doing. We're reflecting on our church life back, looking back, but we should also be reflecting personally more so. And Habakkuk is reflecting back on his life, his nation. He's honest about the deep problems that he sees. He's not afraid, again, to pose the tough questions. And yet, for all the questions he's posing, deep in his heart, he believes and he knows that God is powerful. Despite what's happening around him, and it looks like maybe God has forgotten. Maybe God has lost his power. Maybe God is off duty. And yet he really deeply believes that God is sovereign. That means he's in control. But yet life doesn't look like that. And you've had those moments. I know you have. If you haven't had those moments, then you're be thankful, because I've had them when I wondered if God was in control. And so we take time, as Habakkuk does here. He sort of reflects in a way. And in chapter 2, in verse number 1, he says this: I will stand at my watch, and I will station myself. I will look to see what God will say to me. And so that's kind of a bit of a time of reflection. He says, I'm going to go out, I'm going to stand on my watch, I'm going to wait, I'm going to see what God will say to me. And he enters into this time of reflection, to look and to see. He says, I will look and see. As he's pondering God and taking time in his presence, he wants to hear and see what God will say to him. And in his reflection, he comes to some realizations about God that we all need to come to today. And he made a prayer as a part of his reflection. And after some time of contemplation, he makes this prayer, which is a good prayer for us to pray at this juncture in our church and at this juncture in our personal lives. And he says, Lord, I've heard of your fame. I know about it. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. But then here's the prayer that I think we all, whether we say it or not, we all feel it. Lord, repeat them in our day. Or some translations say, renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. Habakkuk is saying, I just don't want the stories. I just don't want to remember. I just don't want to know up here in my head that you're in control and that you're sovereign. But Lord, in my day, right now, in our time, he says, make them known. In your wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens. His praise filled the earth. And so as Habakkuk took some time here for reflection and posed the honest questions and didn't ignore the tough decisions, didn't ignore the tough thoughts, and as he began to ponder and spend this time and wait to see what God would say to him, God did some things for him that he will do for you if you will do that as well. And Habakkuk was reminded that God is always there when we need him. He's reminded that God is always there. In chapter 2 at the beginning, he said, I'm going to stand at my watch. I'll wait and see what God will do. And then in verse number 3, he says, for the revelation awaits an appointed time. He came to the realization that God has everything in control and that God's timing is always best. He began to realize as he reflected. He says in verse number 2 of chapter 2, then the Lord replied. And so he knew that God would answer him. And I've come to discover in times of personal reflection as well that God is always there when we need him. That's his promise. He's always on time. He's not always on my time. And sometimes that gets tough. But he's always on time. Habakkuk came to the realization as he said, I'm just going to stand on my watch. I'm going to wait and see what God's going to say to me. And then he, as I said, then he made this realization, for the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and it will not prove false. Though it lingers, wait for it. It will certainly come. He knows that God's purposes will ultimately prevail. And if there's any reminder that we need today, is that God's purposes will ultimately prevail. No matter what it looks like around us right now, his purposes will prevail. But we need the time in his word, in that mirror, and reflecting up on him to be reminded of that. Because we read the wonderful stories. We see the word pictures of how God came through for people. And then as we share with one another, we're reminded that he comes through for us today. God's perfect timing takes precedence over my deadlines. With God, there's no time. Reminds me of the story you may have heard about the man who was talking to God, and he He said, God, it says in the Bible that to you a day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is as a day. God says, yes, that's true. He says, so if a day is as a thousand years, then with you a penny could be as $1,000. God says, yeah, sure. He says, well, God, could you spare me a handful of pennies? And God says, sure, come back tomorrow. There you go, let it sink in. With God, there is no time. With me, there is time. With me, there's impatience sometimes. But with God, there is no time. A day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is as a day. And so when we take time in His Word, because when I'm looking at my calendar, I see time. When I'm looking out my window, when I'm looking at my TV or my phone or my screen, I see time. And I see things, but when I look into His Word, into the mirror, and allow His Word to speak to me, I'm reminded that God has His own calendar. And He's bringing it to an appointed time. And that brings me a sense of peace, that He's always on time, no matter what it looks like. Habakkuk realized God always brings us what we need. The last verse there says, God came from Teman. That's simply a desert oasis. Here's this man who is desperate here before God. He's standing on his watch, and he has this sense that God is coming to him and bringing that oasis, bringing him what he needs, bringing him a sense of renewal. When we look into the mirror of God's Word, we're reminded He's always there when we need Him. He always brings us what we need. When we need that time of refreshing or renewal, He will always bring it. He'll bring that oasis into our lives and our times of our desert experiences. And He always reminds us of who He is. Now, I didn't read the rest of the chapter, and I'll leave it for you to read. But if you take time and read down through some of these verses, it speaks of God's presence and God's power and His splendor. In chapter 3, His splendor, he says, is like the sunrise. Rays flash from His hands. Enemies flee from His presence, and so on. All of these reminders of who God is, that He is powerful, that He is splendor. He's powerful. His presence turns a dark night into day and brings rays of light and hope into the darkest places. That His hand holds all power and authority. Habakkuk realizes that God always reminds us of who He is, and He always brings us renewal and revival. I think one of the songs this morning mentioned, or somebody spoke about, a need for revival. For God to revive us. And that's kind of really what was happening here with Habakkuk. He was in need of a revival. He was looking around him and seeing all of the things around him. But now he was experiencing God's presence. And it was bringing revival to his life. It was bringing him new life and new freedom and a new sense of God's presence. In chapter 3, verse 16, he says, when I heard this, my heart pounded and my lips began to quiver at the sound. He's hearing God and he's being reminded of God's presence in his life. And lastly, when we look into God's Word and we allow it to be a mirror back into our lives, we're reminded that He controls the future. We look back and we see how God works, but our need this morning is to know that He controls the future. The last few verses of the book of Habakkuk are somewhat familiar. I think I may have even preached on them a few years ago in the last verses of this chapter. And after all of this time, and all of this calamity, and all of these questions, as Habakkuk has given himself time to reflect upon God's presence in his life, to hear what God is going to say to him, he comes to this conclusion. And in the last verses of Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 to 18, or verses 17, he says this: though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, and the olive crop fails, there are no fields to produce food, there are no sheep in the pen, and there are no cattle in the stalls. That's a pretty bleak picture. Those elements that he lists are the six basic ingredients of life in that day. It could compare it to something else today, but in that culture, the fig tree and the grapes and the olives and the fields and the sheep and the cattle, they were the essentials for life. And he says, even if none of that helps or none of that is prosperous, in verse number 18, he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength, and he makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. And so after this time of reflection and introspection, Habakkuk comes to this realization that, yes, things are looking pretty nasty around me. Things are not exactly like we would like to see them. But he comes to these conclusions that God is always there when I need him, that God is always on time, that God always provides what we need and reminds us that he is powerful. And he brings us a sense of confidence as we look forward. Habakkuk came to that conclusion that God was in control. And so again this morning, are you willing? My first question was, what do you see when you look in the mirror? And I took some time as I prepared this message to do some personal reflection and ask myself some of those tough questions. And I was reminded of a book that we're reading as a staff right now, and doing in our staff meetings, we're doing a study on this book called The Reappearing Church. And in one of the most recent chapters that we did, the author talks about the need for renewal and revival in our own personal lives. And he made this quote that again stood out to me, and I don't think I have it here, so I'll just repeat it a couple of times. He says, only Christ can change us. But we must take the responsibility. Oh, I do have it. Only Christ can change us. But we must take the responsibility for choosing to be changed. Only Christ can change us. But he can only change us if we take the responsibility. And so I didn't bring a mirror as such this morning. But this book serves me better than looking in the mirror physically. Because this book, when I look into it and gaze intently into the law of God that James talks about, may leave me realizing that there's a few things there I don't like, but it also gives me the privilege and the opportunity in my relationship and communion with God through the Holy Spirit to become more like the person he wants me to be. And so as we approach this 100th year as a church, we look back. We see so many blessings. We see some things that maybe we can learn from. As I look back on my life, I see so many blessings. And I see some things that I should learn from. And so my challenge to you today is just to allow the Holy Spirit to look into your heart and into your life. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you that it is a lamp unto our feet. It lights our path. Lord, thank you that it's a mirror. When we look in the mirror, we sometimes see some things we wish were a little different. But Lord, thank you that your Holy Spirit wants us to look into the Word, see who we should be, but your Holy Spirit promises everything we need to get us there. And so, Lord, as I look back on my life, was there a point where I was closer to you than I am today? Lord, are my priorities ordered the way they should be? And Lord, I thank you that your word doesn't want to leave me in a state of condemnation, but it wants to help me be the man, the father, the husband, the pastor that you want me to be. So, Lord, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that shows us. But Lord, remind us this morning that only you can change our lives, but only we can give you the permission to do that work. Lord, lead us to who and to where you want us to be, we pray. In Jesus' name.